It's time for Lincoln County Connections on KNPT, KWDP, and KBCH. Here's your host, Casey Miller.
Thanks for joining us today on Lincoln County Connections. I am Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. And today we have Lola Jones. Good morning, Lola.
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you here. And Lola, before we get into the nonprofit social service and some of the benefits that you have going on, I'm kind of curious, how long have you been the director of Samaritan House now?
I have been with Samaritan House for about 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. I came on board in the year of our 25th anniversary, and we're coming up on our 30th anniversary a little bit later next year. And so really exciting time for the organization.
Wow.
It was a big transition. Years. Yeah. The director that I came after had been there for 12 years, and she did incredible things to create the transition. Housing programming. But ultimately, for the last 5 years, I've really been focused on getting us financially stable and ready to enter into our third decade of serving families in Lincoln County, by trying to set the goals a little bit out in the future. You know, what is housing going to look like for vulnerable families in Lincoln County in the next 10 or 20 years? And how can Samaritan House be a part of that?
Yeah, you know, in my only tour, I've been through Samaritan House with you, and it's really a value to have you walk us through the kinds of support Samaritan House provides.
I can distill that a little bit for you. I find it best to kind of go chronologically in the way that a resident might experience Samaritan House.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for many people, that begins with a pretty long stint on the waiting list. We have a waiting list that represents over 350 families that have, reached out for help to us over the course of the last 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And so, somebody might spend a couple of weeks on the waiting list. They might spend a couple of years on the waiting list because we wait and prioritize different factors of how they're experiencing homelessness. Mm-hmm. For example, somebody who is tent camping or in their car in the winter is going to be prioritized over somebody who maybe has a couch surfing kind of scenario going on. So a family comes into Samaritan House. We do drug screening for every family that lives with us because being drug and alcohol free is a really important part of our program. We're asking you to, prioritize your sobriety and your finances in different ways.
Yeah.
And particularly because we're a safe place for people that are coming out of inpatient or outpatient recovery. We want to make sure that in as many ways as we can control our environment, we're doing that in a way that supports people being vulnerable and making change. Because that's a really important part of being at Samaritan House is you're acknowledging that something needs to change. You want to do something different.
Yeah.
So for the first 30 days of residency, the only requirement that I have from residents is that they create a case plan, they create a roadmap. Where do you want to go? I don't need to know all the directions, but where do you want to be when 10 months is over? And we also ask for a $100 refundable deposit on their apartment because residents live in their own 1 and 2 bedroom apartments at Samaritan House. We want to try and mimic the real world, but in a very supportive environment. So like the real world, you're going to have to pay a deposit to get into your apartment. And the way that you live in that apartment is directly related to how much of that deposit will come back to you. We want to show them that that's also true at Samaritan House. For the second phase of residency, which is 90 days, long, we have a requirement that all residents save 60% of their take-home pay with us in an administered savings account. This is a really transformative part of the program, what I think sets us apart from other shelters, because we are helping that family create a nest egg that's going to make their exit from Samaritan House a lot more smooth and a lot more dignified. I really believe that there's dignity in choice, and when you have more than one option about where you're going to live, you're going to make a better decision for you and your family. Usually, having those finances in place is the biggest factor in having multiple choices on where to live. Price is such a huge factor in this rental market, especially for people that kind of find themselves at the outer envelope of paying, 50-60% of their income every month in rent. We want them to have choices about where they go. So most families actually accrue between $900 and $1,200 during this savings stage, and then they kind of have this nest egg that they can lean on when they leave Samaritan House. And the most important thing is that we're showing them how it's possible. If you make sacrifices in these certain areas of your budget and you lean on the support system that we're providing for you, you can have these great results in a shorter amount of time, financially speaking. The last phase of residency is 6 months long, and that's our rental stage. We actually enter into a legal lease agreement. I am the landlord, the family is the tenant, and the apartment becomes a classroom for how to be a more attractive renter in our market in Newport. We have a vacancy rate in this town of less than 1%. So that means for every rental unit that comes on the market, there are many families that are competing for that space. I want to make sure that the families at Samaritan House have a good rental reference from me and that they're really prepared to participate in the market rate.
Fantastic. So many life skills help create for these individuals.
Yeah. And I think what's really important to acknowledge is that we're client-centered and strength-based. So that means that we're really asking the family where they want to be. We're not providing a prescriptive roadmap about what steps to take to get yourself out of this experience of homelessness. We're saying, what do you know about yourself that, you know, kind of contributes to this experience that you're having? And what do you know about the strengths that your family has and how those are related to the challenges you're experiencing?
Well, and it's great because those are questions we all might benefit from asking ourselves,
sure,
no matter what state we're in.
Definitely.
You know? And Lola, I'm curious, with that kind of a waiting list, maybe this is a good segue into your funding and for example, like the nonprofit social service grant that was that you just received. But have you ever thought about expansion? What is the biggest obstacle to Samaritan House, for example, expanding their services?
Sure. So over the last, I don't know, maybe 18 months or 2 years, Samaritan House has been really seriously considering and taking formative steps toward this goal of having permanent supportive housing as a part of our portfolio. So right now, the transitional housing program that we offer is 10 months long. We are looking at trying to expand into offering permanent apartments for families that know that they consistently need some of these supportive services to remain independent. Independence looks totally different for different families. A great example of permanent supportive housing that already exists in our community is the Pelican Place housing facility on like 3rd and Nye Street over by the library there.
Yeah.
CSC owns that apartment complex. They provide ongoing case management services for residents who want to participate. And they also have, you know, kind of sliding scale rent techniques that they can use to help people use the housing subsidies that they might have. And then also to make their apartments cash affordable for those who don't have subsidies. Mm. So Samaritan House has been looking at particular pieces of property up near the community college in the Wilder area with this goal of developing a 13-unit complex that would be shared with another sort of flexible social service space. And there have been lots of different groups, you know, that have ideas about what we could use that space for, whether it was a relief nursery type of child abuse prevention services, low-income daycare, you know, preschooling options. And so we really want to be in that game of helping families remain independent when they leave Samaritan House. But I also think that there's room in this community for the idea of new emergency and transitional housing practices. The Samaritan House facility really only came to be because the Tides Inn Motel, you know, deeded that property to the Presbyterian Church and subsequently to Samaritan House. So we did kind of a rehab model on how to create new housing. And we've got lots of motel properties in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years that have, you know, been sold because, you know, the family, you know, moves out of the area or that, you know, the business is no longer viable. And these structures are really great skeletons for how to create low income housing for vulnerable families because, you know, unit by unit, you want to think from the developer's standpoint, you know, if they're going to spend $4 or $5 million developing, you know, 10 or 12 units of housing, they're going to have to recoup that loss, you know, in the matter of a course of years. Low income and nonprofit development looks at it from a different perspective. You know, what is the benefit to the community of having these units available for families that can't afford anything else? And how can we balance that against the capital that's expended to develop them?
Yeah. Lola Jones, Samaritan House. We'll take a break and we'll be back with her in just a moment on Connections. Thanks for joining us on Lincoln County Connections today. We have Lola Jones with us of Samaritan House, trying to improve the level of service and housing.
I like to describe the problem with particularly low-income housing in Lincoln County as a kind of a two-pronged problem. The first part of them is pretty simple to understand. It's inventory. We do not have enough units of housing for, in general, for the people that live in Lincoln County, particularly for the amount of people that are going to be here once the sciences expand in South Beach, which is excellent. You know, it's adding another level of intellectualism and academic, you know, a presence to our community, but it's going to bring a lot of people that are looking for like single resident occupant units because that's what they're used to in college. The other part of the problem, other than inventory, is that we have a consumer force, you know, a market force that's unprepared to participate in market rate housing, whether that's because they have insufficient income, they have, you know, lifestyle behaviors or culture choices that prevent them from participating long-term in the rental market. We've got this issue of preparedness to participate as well as inventory. And so I think you can kind of think of different task forces and meetings that happen as, you know, addressing one of those two issues. Mm. So there's a lot that other nonprofit social service organizations do to collaborate around making our population ready to participate in the rental market. You know, and that you know, really represents a lot of the people that the county is funded in this most recent round of the social service yeah. grant allocations. People that are helping with food security, people that are helping with parenting techniques, and people that are, you know, helping children stabilize in school. All of these things help make a family ready for housing. But what really needs to happen for those people to utilize resources is for there to be an inventory sufficient to house the amount of people that need it in Lincoln County.
You know, I was thinking the other day when I had someone call the commissioner's office about VRDs, what motivates sure. people to go that way as opposed to traditional rental?
Well, I think it's very easy to understand why somebody whose, you know, 9-to-5 job is not being a landlord, that if they have a single or maybe even a couple of investment properties, why they would want to link up with a property management group and do that VRD kind of route. Yeah. Because, you know, I'm a landlord 9-to-5 where I live, and it's a pretty expensive and a pretty exhaustive business to be in. You know, yeah. there are real costs associated with being a landlord, and there are real obligations. You know, Oregon has some really great landlord-tenant housing laws, and a lot of them, you know, tend to favor the tenant in different things. And so when people are looking at the risk of, you know, moving a tenant into one of their investment properties, sometimes it looks a lot more attractive to just let a property management firm handle it. And I don't think that we should be relying on our fellow citizen to solve the problem of inventory. It's certainly a portion of the problem,
yeah.
but what really needs to happen is we need to have higher density options for housing. A lot of the zoning laws, especially in the city of Newport, prevent higher density on, you know, a certain tax lot. Mm. So if you're in the residential 1 or residential 2 zones of Newport, you can have one dwelling per tax lot, maybe 2 or 3, you know, duplexes and triplexes, things like that. What we really need to see is something in the R3, R4 category, and that's higher density, higher volume. If we are going to, you know, share this beautiful piece of land that we have here, we need yeah. to figure out how to fit the people that are actually living and working and enjoying that land into the urban growth boundary.
Is this also why the tiny homes too tend to be on trailers right now? Is that kind of a zoning dilemma?
Yeah, and the other thing about that is what you're talking about with a tiny house, especially if it's on another piece of property with a single family dwelling, is this additional residential dwelling. Yeah. And some zones prohibit those entirely. So the trailer is a way that a lot of people have gotten around that. And I think in that particular industry, there's a lot going on right now to try and legitimize that in the eyes of different land use groups. You know,
sure.
how do they properly zone and how do they properly account for that? I think that for this community, we really need to be thinking about high density in terms of apartments, you know, duplexes, triplexes, quads, because that type of development limits the cost so that
I
the
see.
Developer does not have to go and set the rent at, you know, $1,200 per month for an 800 square foot apartment. We really need options that are not quite so flashy that really fit into the working family budget.
I see. So apartments really fit the model the best.
They do.
In terms of the end outcome.
They do, because they can serve both populations. I kind of think that there are two different populations that are competing for a lot of the housing that's priced under $1,000 a month right now, and that's the young professional, maybe
yeah.
single, you know, double unattached, you know, young professional, and working families. Particularly if you're working in, you know, in the hospitality industry, if you're working in the fish processing industry, if you were a whiting, you know, processor and you're looking at a summer of no income, you know,
yeah.
when you're making those plans, oftentimes people are stretching their budget to the limit under the best of circumstances. And then we have something like that happen and it really throws things, you know, kind of into chaos.
Yeah.
And that's what homelessness is. It's the experience constantly of chaos day after day
yeah.
after day. And the way that that trauma manifests itself in families and children and multiple generations is something that I think we're kind of coming to a head right now in Lincoln County, because the inventory is more challenged than it's ever been, and families are less prepared than they've ever been to participate in the market.
Mm. Yeah, kind of a perfect storm that seems to be mm-hmm. growing, really.
But a fabulous opportunity for public and private partnerships to occur to try and address this issue.
Yeah, right.
And I think the city of Newport and the city of Lincoln City both need big kudos in that they're kind of acknowledging, we need to play a role here. Maybe we don't need to be a landlord. Maybe we don't need to own apartment buildings, but we need to take a look at the role that we play in making development attractive for people that want to build apartments or duplexes or condos in the city of Newport or Lincoln City.
Yeah, good. Proactive steps. We'll be back with Lola in just a moment. We'll find out how you can contribute or participate in Samaritan House's mission when we return. Back with Lola Jones on Lincoln County Connections. Lola, I know we segued into the housing issue, but it's really so important. I really appreciate that you've got a grasp on this. Very useful and timely information. With just a few minutes left, how can we contribute to Samaritan House's mission? What do you got coming up?
You know, our shelter facility and our residential program is our main function in this community. It's how we prepare people to participate in the rental market. Mm-hmm. And it's how we generate generational family stability. I often say that being homeless is a full-time job because, again, experiencing that chaos daily of where am I going to eat? Where are my kids going to do their homework? Where are they going to bathe? Where am I going to do my laundry? Am I wearing out my welcome on this couch that I'm sleeping on because my kids are up in the middle of the night?
So
they're potty
stress.
Training. Yeah, there's so much stress. So oftentimes what I see is when we put somebody in a unit, you know, the first couple weeks that they're there, they're looking around like, gosh, what do I do now? Like, there's so much that's possible now. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of trepidation about being stable because with stability comes expectations. You know, we want people to have a healthy relationship between what they know they can do and what we expect them to do. And a lot of that is the residency program. It's case management. It's life skills classes. It's just living in a supportive community. Mm-hmm. And so when people support the shelter, whether it's through monthly donations, annual donations, participating in our fundraisers, that's the product that's really making the impact in our community. And since we're now in the month of June, it's officially June 1st, I definitely want to talk about the auction that's coming up mm-hmm. for Samaritan House, as well as our final garden tour. It's been 15 years that we've been offering this garden tour in Lincoln County, and so I want to make sure that we let people know how they can participate. So Saturday, June 17th, we have our sixth annual gala dinner and auction at the Best Western. We've got a great buffet with salmon and prime rib. I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah. And we've got some silent and live auction items, some pay-to-play games. We're going to have live music from Malarkey and Sons. And so that is $55 a person, and tickets are available at brownpapertickets.com. Okay. That's brownpapertickets.com. Or you can call the Samaritan House office at 541-574-8898. Again, that's 541-574-8898. And we really couldn't do this auction without the help of our presenting sponsor, Bank of the West, does all of our merchant services for us there. Nice. We've got, you know, credit card terminals that people can use there. And they've really been very supportive of that fundraiser and of our permanent supportive housing goals. Also get some sponsorship from Chinook Winds Casino and Samaritan Health Services. So big shout out to them. And then the following weekend on Sunday, the 25th of June, is our final garden tour. As I said, 15 years this group has been coming together every year, going out into different parts of the county and finding these gardens for us. So give me a call at the office if you want to know more about tickets.
And online, you are located at
samfamshelter.org.
Lola Jones, you're awesome. Keep up the good work. Pleasure you're on our side. We'll see you same time, same place next week. Thanks for listening.